This podcast is sponsored by the Phoenix Festival Siren Sister, the number one free festival in the Cotswolds on the 26th and 27th of August. For more information, go to www.phoenix-festival.co.uk. And this podcast is also sponsored by Planet All Stars, Siren Sisters' brand new comic, toy and collectible shop. For more information, visit www.planetallstars.co.uk.
I have just created something totally illogical.
Far away.
Ahoy, hoy, and welcome to a very special movie, Heaven. I'm joined in the shed, as always, with my esteemed colleague, Pav. Hello, mate.
Hello, how are you? I don't know why I'm waving. I'm waving to our guest.
Yeah, absolutely. And, without further ado, I think he needs a big introduction. So, we got to meet this gentleman at the Swindon Comic Con 2017. He's been a bit of an idol of mine because he's in one of my favourite films. He is none other than the original... Well, I think the best Oliver, and it is the one, the only, Mark Lester. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you very much, guys. How are you?
We're good.
Yeah, very well. Thank you very much for taking time out to chat to us. So, I'm going to jump straight back to Oliver, because obviously it was the Oscar-winning film. What's your best memory of filming that movie?
Well, we filmed it over like a year, so there's lots of memories there. I mean, I think... mainly working with all those great people. It was just the whole dynamics of the whole thing. It was just like one big family. I really mean that. I didn't, no one fell out, or not amongst the kids anyway. I was probably one of the youngest there, so I was looked after, and yeah, it was like being on holiday, really.
So how old were you when you got the part, and what was the process of you getting the part?
I was 8, and I had to go through a series of auditions, which took about 6 months, and then I got the part, and then I turned 9, I think, on the set. So they threw a big party for me.
Oh, brilliant! So was the auditions in front of Carol Reed himself?
Yeah, pretty much Carol Reed, John Wolf, the music, and then the choreographer, Honor White as well. Yeah.
So was it all filmed on set, or was there location shots?
No, everything was filmed in Shepperton Studios.
Well, they're huge sets, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, we had pretty much the whole studio, and we had every single stage, was a different set, from Fagin's Den to, Bloomsbury Square to the streets of London. Yeah, I mean, we just took over the whole thing. It's huge.
So being only 8 years old, were you aware of the scale and the scope of the production that you were in?
I had absolutely no idea. I really didn't until I think when I went to the premiere of the film in Leicester Square, and then I realised that, oh, actually, it was the Royal... premiere and that year, and thought, oh, actually, this is probably quite important then, this film.
And how did you feel when you were at the premiere? Did you stay and watch yourself throughout the whole film as well?
Yeah, actually, I think that's the first time I'd actually seen it. So it was kind of a bit weird, because obviously you film it out of continuity. So it's the first time I'd seen the film, and I felt a bit awkward because my Mum and Dad made me wear a suit, which I really hated. But other than that, it was okay.
So you were you worked with a lot of legends in that movie. Oliver Reed had quite a reputation as a bit of a hellraiser. How did you find? I mean, were you, again, being only 8 years old, were you aware of that reputation? And
well, Ollie was, he was terrifying, to be honest with you. He really was, because he was a character actor, and he literally got into the character of Bill Sykes, who was a maniac. And I think at one point there's a scene in it with him and Ron Moody when he nearly strangles him. And I know Ron was like, was hoping that it would all be done in one take, because he kept, poor old Ron. I think he got the brunt of it.
So, but how did he treat the kids? Was he really gruff and rough? Well, not rough, but gruff with the kids as well, and quite mean?
Well, because he was a character actor, we didn't really see him until he came on.
Right. For
his bit, and then so he came on in character. So he was just like Bill Sykes, you know, he was just scary as
And what about Ron Moody? Because obviously he came from the stage as well, played Fagin on the stage. No.
Ron was completely the opposite. He was sweetie, really just a lovely guy, and a complete opposite of Ollie. But again, you know, he got into the character of Fagin, but he knew when to come out of it as well. So, you know, you could talk to him, and we did a lot of rehearsals, and I had a lot of scenes with Ron. So,
And what about the songs? I mean, were you sort of trained at all were you a drama school child and came through?
I went to Corona Academy, which is a stage school in Hammersmith in London. And I went there for about 5 years. But I really didn't learn very much there. I remember I used to be quite naughty when I was at school, and I wound up looking at the back of a door most of the time while I was sent out of the room. So I didn't really achieve very much as much as dancing and singing. But I used to get a lot of work for some reason. I just looked right, and I used to, every time we went out on commercials or auditions for commercials, I'd usually get a part, do loads of advertising work before the film, and a few films before Oliver as well. So I never was hardly at school, really.
Right. So was there like a working directive then for children? So, I mean, what was the first film you did? I can't remember what it was.
First film is called LA France, which I did when I was about four.
Yeah.
You had a little speaking part in that. Then I think it's on IMDb, because I forget half the time what stuff I've done anyway. But that was a small part. And then I did Fahrenheit 451 and a small part in that, and a few other TV programs, Danger Man. I don't know if you remember that. You're probably too young for that.
I can remember it being on, but it was obviously a repeat. I'm afraid so. How long were you able to film? I mean, obviously we're talking the 60s then. And
Well, it was different in those. So you had to have a tutor for three hours a day. Went during term time. If it was filmed on holidays, then you didn't have to bother with a tutor. So a lot of the films I did were done in holiday time. I don't think there was any limit to how long you were on. What was it, 3 hours or 4 hours? I can't remember. Anyway, I think no one really paid much attention to that.
No.
But I did have to have a tutor. I did have to learn my lessons.
So what's your favourite scene in Oliver? What was your favourite scene to shoot?
I don't know. There's lots of them, but I think probably Who Will Buy was pretty good. I just like the way that it was built up and how it... We did it all in one shot as well, which is quite incredible. Obviously, they cut in other shots, but the whole thing was done in one take from start to finish. I was up a crane behind a facade on Shepperton Studios. So I just thought it was very, very well done.
Mm. Were you involved in any of the stage productions at all, or never? Because I know Ron Moody did. Did Jack Wilde, I think?
Jack did, and Jack went to Barbara Speak. And I think Phil Collins' mother, June Collins, I think, ran Barbara Speak. And Phil Collins was actually earmarked to be the Artful Dodger because he'd played it on the stage. But Jack won out over him.
Mm. And rightly so.
Indeed.
Absolutely. So what did you... Because, I mean, obviously when Oliver finished, it then became an Oscar-winning movie. Did you go to the Oscars?
Yep.
And how was that experience for you?
Oh, it was great fun. I got to meet all these, like, superstar people that I'd seen on, like, movies before, like Tony Curtis and Dick Van Dyke and Burt Reynolds and all these people that were just, like, mega, mega stars. And it was great because being a little kid, of course, they treat you quite well.
Yeah, absolutely. So what then? Did you sort of go back to the school, or was it pretty much instant that you went on to make the next movie?
No, it was pretty much instant. I think I was making about 3 films a year then for the next 3 or 4 years. So I didn't go back. I did go back to school, obviously, but my parents pulled me out of the stage school and they put me in like just a little prep school that was close to where we lived in Richmond.
So at the time, you must have been one of the most famous 8-9-year-olds in the world. How was it going back to school? How did other children treat you?
They were fine. They didn't treat me any different than anybody else. I don't know. I think in England, and also in those days, there wasn't like this sort of paparazzi type culture or celebrity culture that we have now. So it was kind of different. And I remember, you know, just going down to the local bus stop one day to go to school, and there were some giggling girls, and they were going, "Oh, you're Mark Lester, aren't you? You're Mark Lester." And I went, "No, I'm not." And they're going, "Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are." And I went, "I'm not. I'm not." And they went, "Yeah, you are." And I said, "Okay, I am." And they went, "No, you're not. No, you're not." Like, you can't win, really.
But were you asked for your autograph at any age, when you were that age? Was that the sort of thing that you were asked for?
People came up to me and asked my autograph, but not really all the time. It was just, I think the English are sort of quite more reserved about that.
Or were.
Or were.
Yeah.
No, you're right. I think it's all changed, hasn't it? And I blame, what's her name, Katie Price. That's all her fault.
All right. We can blame Katie Price for a lot of things.
Yeah, I think so.
So do people still come up to you now and recognise you and ask for autographs and things like that?
Yeah, I was in Sainsbury's the other day and some bloke sort of came up and said, "Oh, you're that bloke in Oliver, weren't you?" And I said, "Yes." And he went, "Oh, hello." I went, "Hello." And that was it.
Do anybody try to start a duet with you, like Consider Yourself or any of those?
Not really. Not that I would. No, I'd probably run away, I think.
What was your favourite song on set to sing?
Well, actually, it was the one that Fagin sings, Reviewing the Situation. I think that's great. I just love that. That's such a good track.
Have you ever thought about stepping back out and acting again? Or?
Well, there's a couple of things that might happen. There's a sort of thing going on about King Harold in 1066. We'll see if that happens. That's been on the cards for some time. And there's another kind of action film that I've kind of put my name to, and we've done a bit of filming, but it's been put on hold because I think the lead actor he's a martial art guy, but apparently he's taken a load of steroids and he's now twice the size as he was and he doesn't look any starting with.
Oh dear. I was going to say, would you ever be tempted to step into the role of Fagin?
No. No one could do it like Ron, and it would just be pointless.
Mm. So does it surprise you that decades on people still love? I mean, when we did the Q&A, my cousin was the one that was asking a lot of the questions because she absolutely loves Oliver and always has. And it's like nearly 50 years old.
Yeah,
does it surprise you that people still hold that film so much to their hearts?
Yeah, because there's a lot of new stuff out there and there's a lot of good stuff out there. So, yeah, I suppose it's a bit like a classic book, isn't it? You know, it'll carry on.
Mm.
Is it the favourite of your films that you were in? Or do you have a different one?
Well, I've done so many films that I can't really say. I mean, it was certainly the longest film I ever was in. So I guess for the time frame, then lots more happened on it. Because now, I mean, films are normally made in about 12 weeks, but that took a year. So, yeah, I guess it probably was, yeah, the most memorable.
Because they obviously Little Lord Fauntleroy. What was your memories of that film?
I wasn't in that film.
No, wasn't it? What am I thinking of?
No, you're thinking of Prince and the Pauper.
Prince and the Pauper. Sorry, Mark. That's my mistake.
Oh, Neil.
Yeah, that's my mistake. You were in that movie. Absolutely.
Although I always felt he should have been in that movie. There you go. We'll try.
Prince and the Pauper. Sorry, I did mean Prince
and the Pauper. Funnily enough, I was working with someone on the Little Lord Fauntleroy script. And, yeah, but it never came to fruition.
So, Prince and the Pauper, that's the one I meant.
It was a film, yeah. Prince and the Pauper, yeah. No, that was good fun.
Because when was that?
That was Ollie Reed again.
Yeah.
And lots of, I got to work with loads of, like, Rex Harrison, George C. Scott, Charlton Heston, Ernest Borgnine.
Wow.
Yeah. It was really fab to work on that.
How was Ollie Reed in that one? Because he was well and truly into his
Hellraiser.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He was mental, and, you know, they had to kind of keep him away from everybody else. They had to put him in another hotel on the other side of we were in Budapest, so they had put him on the other side of the river to keep him away from everyone.
I just noticed on IMDb, Racco Welch as well. What was she like to work with?
She was great. I loved her. I mean, she's gorgeous. And, you know, it was like every 18-year-old's bloody dream to be back our wealth.
Goodness me. I bet there's a book in there.
So what did you then, what was the decision? Did you sort of decide not to go act in, or did you think to yourself, because obviously there's a big gap between Prince and the Pauper basically was the last movie, wasn't it, until a bit further on. So did you just decide I don't want this anymore, or
I never really saw it as being a lasting career, and every film I was like a bonus. So because I was a kind of kid for most of it, and it was nice to work, because it's not really work. Anyone who says it's hard work is telling fibs, because it's really, really easy. But you know, it was just like going on holiday and making a home movie most of the time. So I never really thought that it was going to be lasting. And I think it's kind of everything fizzled out. I did a bit of stage work after, and there was talk about doing something on some Brazilian TV series or something that was, I was offered that, but that never really happened. So I just let it go, really.
Mm. Are there any plans to celebrate the 50th anniversary next year?
Well, I don't know. They did something with the 40th, which only seems like last week. I don't know whether Columbia, which is owned by Sony now, I think, might do some. I don't know. Maybe. Mm. I haven't heard anything yet.
Right. Okay.
Because obviously Jack Wilde, sadly, no longer with us. I think the last thing I remember him in was Robin Hood. Did you stay friends with him throughout?
Yes. Yeah, I was very friendly with Jack. And I went to his funeral, and his wife's in touch with me still. And yeah, I used to see Jack about, you know, once every 6 months or so. And yeah, so we were always buddies.
Fantastic. Right, I think we ought to go into the questions. We'll probably dib in and out of the film career as we talk through these. So, Mark, what was the first film you ever saw at the cinema?
I believe it was Dr. No, which my dad took me to see at the local cinema.
And did it sway you into going to the cinema more often? Were you impressed? Because obviously that was the first Bond.
No, not really. I just really liked it. I love all the Bond films. They're great. And my dad liked them as well. I think that's why he took me to see it, so he could get away from my mum.
So how old were you when you went and saw that?
Oh, I'd been about... how old? I'd been about 6, 7 years old.
Right, okay.
Five maybe. I can't even remember when it came out. It was 62. I'd been like 5 years old.
Wow.
And whereabouts was that at the time?
4 years old, 4, yeah.
Is the cinema still there that you went to see it? Is it one of those old...
No, it was I think it was in Putney. We lived in Putney at the time, in London, and... No, it's not. It's probably a block of flats now, I should think.
So sad, these old cinemas disappearing like they are.
Indeed. Yeah. Right, your favourite movie quote?
Again, it comes from a James Bond film. And it comes, it's Piers Brosnan in Tomorrow Never Dies. And M has him on the phone and he's snogging some Danish girl. And then she asked, it's actually not from James Bond. M asks James what he's doing. And he says he's brushing up on the Danish tongue. And then the reply is, James, you were always such a cunning linguist.
Yeah, brilliant, isn't it?
You can't beat Bond for a bit of double entendre and stuff, can you?
Well, they've gone back on all that, haven't they? Made it all too tame now, which is very disappointing.
I think so.
You do miss it a bit, don't you? Because it's all become... I think Jason Bourne has changed Bond, if you know what I mean.
Well, Jason Bourne's very good as well. I mean, I do like Matt Damon. I think he's very, very good. The action scenes are good. But, I mean, the whole thing about Bond was the tongue-in-cheek thing.
Yeah.
Which kind of set it apart from anything else. And they've kind of lost that. They made it too... They're trying to make it too serious, I think.
They're trying to make it gritty and real world, aren't they? Which is one thing that Bond never was.
No, it's nonsense because it's complete fantasy. I mean, that's the whole thing about Thunderball, you know, with the guy with a swimming pool full of sharks, you know, the bed. I mean, it's just great. It's just nonsense. Or Scaramanga, or the guy with the three nipples. And
that was Scaramanga, yeah, Christopher Lee.
Man with the golden gun, yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. You know, it's just, you know, just complete fantasy. And why are they trying to make it look real? I mean, it's just nonsense to me. I really like Casino Royale. That was brilliant. But the last other couple, three, they're not things that I could watch any of the other Sean Connery or even Timothy Dalton ones over and over again. But, apart from Casino Royale, the last three, you know, I just wouldn't even bother with them.
No.
So do you buy movies, Mark? Or do you stream now?
I go to the cinema a lot, so normally, if some things I can't see, normally I can stream them, yeah.
So what was the last DVD or stream that you bought or watched? Funny enough,
this is going back a couple of years, or maybe longer, 2 or 3 years. I bought myself a 3D television.
Yep.
And which I think no longer exists. And I wanted to get a 3D film. So a friend of mine recommended Piranha 3DD. 3D.
You're right.
Is that the one with Kelly Brook?
Yes.
Yes.
It's brilliant. It's so, so good.
And yes.
It's got the Hoff in it as well.
It has.
That's it, yeah.
And there's a floating penis in there as well, isn't there?
There's lots of like things in it, and it certainly enhances the 3D, seeing lots of naked women running around.
Yeah, I must admit, when I woke up this morning, I never thought I'd be saying to Mark Lester about a floating penis. That was one of the things I wasn't expecting to say today.
I don't remember that bit. I just remember it was a laugh, and I was crying with laughter at one stage, but it's a good film.
Yeah, it's a tongue-in-cheek film, isn't it?
Meant to be like that.
Yeah, absolutely, it was.
Good cameo from Richard Dreyfuss as well at the start.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
He's like right, so are you a fan of horror films?
Yep, love horror films.
Wonderful. So what's your favourite scary moment?
Well, I had to think about that one because there's many. I mean, there's that bit in The Exorcist with a head spinning around. But I think my top scary moment, there's two in the same film, in Psycho, was when in the shower scene, and also later in the film when the detective goes into the house and then Psycho leaps out at him from the top of the stairs.
Oh, yeah.
Hacks him down the stairs. That was pretty, when I was about 12 years old, I remember seeing that, and that was pretty scary.
Mm.
Yeah, I think that's a great movie, actually, Psycho, isn't it? Yeah.
Classic.
Absolute classic. What about comedies, Mark? What's your favourite comedy moment from a film?
Well, I think probably the going back into the 70s again, Mel Brooks made a film called Blazing Saddles. And I it was just so different than anything else that had been around comedy wise that, you know, the whole film, it was just brilliant. I mean, the whole concept of the whole film was superb. So anything from that, really.
Yeah, no, I
don't so many disagree. Classic yeah, moments from that.
So it's funny.
One of the most quotable movies I think you can.
And it hasn't dated at all when you watch it. But some of the filming style might have.
Absolutely.
The comedy. Cutting.
Oh, brilliant. Or the Marx Brothers as well. Just the dialogue between Groucho and some of the ladies that he was talking to. What was that? I'll never forget a face, but in your case, I'll make an exception.
He was a legend, wasn't he?
That's very good. Right, we're halfway through the quiz questions, Mark. So if you were sat in our little studio now, on our door, we have a Movie Heaven Quiz League table. Now, this is something that you're not set up for. You didn't know about this.
Go on, then.
Okay, so it's time for the quiz. Neil?
Oi, Fagin.
Wonderful. Right, you will have a minute to answer as many... the look on the face. as many movie trivia questions as you can, okay?
Go on, then.
You have until the cock crows, so are you ready?
Go on.
Right. What is the film title of the sequel to Alice in Wonderland?
Alice Through the Looking Glass.
Correct. Who played Baby in the film Dirty Dancing? No, it was Jennifer Grey. Which famous actor was born Norma Jean Mortensen?
Marilyn Monroe.
Correct. Who played James Bond in Live and Let Die?
Roger Moore.
Correct. How many Rocky films did Sylvester Stallone star in?
Five.
It was six. What was the name of the boy in The Jungle Book?
Mowgli.
Correct. In the film Shrek, what is the name of Shrek's wife?
Mr. Brett.
I'll give you half for that. It's Fiona. What is the name of the film that Phil Collins starred in with Julie Walters in 1988?
Art.
It's Buster. Which James Bond film was named after... Oh, I've started, so I'll finish. Which James Bond film was named after Ian Fleming's home in Jamaica?
Skyfall.
Oh, it was so GoldenEye. How many is that?
4.5, Mark. You didn't.
Oh, dear,
oh, you didn't quite get on the board. You had to get to 5. But by no means is that a bad
score
result
at all.
We've had plenty of people over the years that have got 0. So well done, sir. Well done. That was the quiz.
3.
Neil.
Oi.
Nicely done.
Yeah. So, Mark, just quickly before we go back to the next question, if you could have any film role then now, what film role would you like to have a go at?
Well, good question. I mean, see, I love Liam Neeson in those Taken films, although the first one was the best one and the rest have been rubbish. But I'd like to do something like, because he's older than me and he can still sort of, you know, do the action stuff. I'd like to do something. Tom Cruise is a bit younger than me, but he still manages it. Although I think he's injured himself. Something. Yeah, with a bit of action in it. Like,
so would you been interested in Bond?
I'm a bit old for that. I probably might be Q or something now. But well, no, Q's that young lad, isn't it?
Ray Fiennes, isn't it?
No, that's M.
No, that's M. Q's Withershaw.
Ben Withershaw.
Yeah.
He's all right. But I just like the traditional, you know, a bit bowler hats and pinstripe suit. Oh, no, Kingsman, isn't it? Is another one.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. You could get a role in the third one.
Yeah.
If they ever do one.
But people do seem to think I look a bit like Colin Firth. So, maybe his long lost brother or something.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, we'll ask Matthew Vaughan tomorrow.
Yes, shall we do that? Yeah, we have that power.
So, Mark, going back to the film questions then, what's your favourite screen kiss?
Now that's one I had to think about. And then I had to kind of go back and remember how it happened. And it, I thought it was a lovely scene in Lady and the Tramp where they're both, the dogs are eating spaghetti in the restaurant, in the Italian restaurant, and they suck up this spaghetti and it draws them together and they do this little kiss thing. I thought that was just, was superbly done.
Told you it was a kiss.
See, we've had arguments on previous podcasts that I don't class that as a kiss. I just class that as two dogs eating, whereas Neil is a hopeless romantic and thinks that that is a kiss.
They touch lips, don't they?
So. Yeah, they do. They do. I'll concede. It's two against one, so I have to concede.
Yeah, you know I'm always right.
I know you are. Yeah. Okay. Right, your favourite soundtrack and or song from a movie. You can have a song as well.
Well, An American Werewolf in London.
Oh, that's a great one.
Definitely had, was brilliantly done because it had all the songs like Blue Moon and anything related to werewolves and the Werewolf of London. And I just thought, as a whole soundtrack, I thought that was probably the best placed music within the film. So it was really relevant to the film.
Mm.
It was quite a new approach, really, when it was released. When was that? 1981, wouldn't it have been? So,
something like that, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't something that was really done with that sort of soundtrack, because, I mean, Van Morrison coming up and different versions of the same song. Yeah, it's great. It's a great one. Great soundtrack. Yeah, great movie. Yeah, so.
Good film. Good film as well, yeah.
So, Mark, who would you consider as the sexiest film star, then?
Well, there's lots of them, but I think Margot Robbie in as Harley Quinn.
Oh, yeah.
Suicide Squad. I mean, the film was crap. But
hey, I agree about that.
but she was just, she was worth watching, just to watch her from behind. Yeah.
Yeah. That's one cosplay that you, yeah, it's just. Seeing Margot Robbie in that is just, oh dear.
It doesn't matter what Margot Robbie's in, she always looks good.
It's off the scale brilliant. And then I've got another one as well. I think it's more classic would be Audrey Hepburn in Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yes.
A classic beauty.
Mm.
Yeah. And a great movie as well. Absolutely wonderful, that film.
Very good answer. Okay, we move on to your hidden gem movie. What movie do you like that other people may not have necessarily heard of?
Right, okay. Now, this is a really good film. It's French film with probably, I don't know if you can find it, if it's dubbed or not, but it's a film called Tell No One. And without giving too much away, it's about a guy whose wife has died several years before. And then out of the blue, he gets an email saying that that it's her. And then the plot goes from there. But it's a superb thriller with a lot of twists and the most amazing twist at the end.
Didn't they make an American remake of that?
You know, I think you're absolutely right. I think they did, but like all remakes,
it wasn't as good.
Never would have been as good.
No.
It's like The Vanishing. You ever seen the original Vanishing, Mark?
No.
Highly recommend that. I won't say anything.
Swedish, is it?
Sorry.
Is it Swedish or Danish?
French. It might be Swedish or Danish. It's sort of half and half production.
Well, it's a bit like when they remade the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. I mean, the original one was so much, although it had Daniel Craig, the American one, it wasn't as good at all.
It didn't sort of, it didn't sort of have the same, the atmosphere. Yeah, exactly. But The Vanishing, highly recommend it. Just avoid the American remake because it'll spoil it, but also spoil the whole experience of how tight and twisty the Vanishing is. Very similar, where his girlfriend goes missing from a car park, like in a sort of a service station, and then he has to track her down and find out what happened.
Okay.
And I won't say anything but that, and it's just...
I'll look out for that. Yeah. Sounds a bit like the Roman Polanski film, Frantic.
A little bit, but it has a twist in this movie that you won't see coming and will gobsmack you. Will gobsmack you.
Okay.
Right, we're up to the final question, Mark. So this is your movie, Heaven. This is the film that you could take up to your little white cloud and watch over and over again. So the sort of movie, if it's on telly halfway through, you'd probably always stay and watch it to the end. What would your movie, Heaven, be?
Well, there's several. I think Jack Nicholson, you know, somebody's One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, The Shining, or some of the early Bruce Willis Die Hard films, I think, yeah, those films I could just watch, and any of the Bond films prior to the last three would be, so it's a hard choice to say, but have I got to pick one film?
Yeah, I'm afraid we're quite
It's only a very small cloud, you see.
It is a small cloud, isn't it? One film. Blimey, what have I watched over and over again? I like, actually, a really good film, and it's I always miss something when I watch it, and just watch it time and time again, is Jackie Brown.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah.
Quentin that is the Tarantino. One thing about Tarantino movies, they're very layered, and there's always something new to, a nuance that you haven't quite picked up.
And not from an original source either. It wasn't his, was it?
That's right.
No.
So it's different for him. It's brilliant.
That's a good choice. I think that's the first. We haven't had Jackie Brown before.
I don't think we've ever had Jackie Brown. No. And I think De Niro is so good in that movie.
Oh, he's superb. Yeah. I know what he's doing with himself now. He's gone a bit lean.
Well, we're looking forward to, there's Martin Scorsese's brought them all back together for Netflix, The Irishman, it's called. So we've got Al Pacino, Robert De Niro, Harvey Keitel, Joe Pesci's back.
Joe Pesci's come back, yeah.
Love Joe Pesci.
I know. Disappeared and became a country and western singer.
Did he?
Yeah. Did you not know this? No, he released an album.
I can't see that myself.
I haven't heard it myself, but apparently so. He did an album.
I'm going to have to Spotify that.
Thing of his in Goodfellas, I mean, that has got to be one of the best.
Oh, yeah.
All time when he's telling him, when he's, you know, you're talking to me.
Yeah.
Funny how.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
Absolutely. Mark, it's been absolutely brilliant that you've given us this time.
Thank you ever so much.
A bit of an honour for me. Absolutely. A bit tongue tied.
There you go. It's a bucket list moment.
Yeah, absolutely. It was. I was very won over when we were at the Comic Con afterwards. So,
well, good. Nice to see you guys.
Yeah, thank you ever so much.
Yeah, thank you very much,
and,
Mark.
Stay well, be good,
and hopefully see you around at some stage.
Yes.
See you later.
Take care, Mark. Thank you very
Take
much.
Care. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
There you go.
Oh, bless him.
Do you feel happy now?
I do. He was nice, wasn't he?
Shall we finish the podcast?
Oh.
You knobber.
Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, I thought we'd ended right there when we said cheerio to Mark. Sorry. So thank you very much for listening, everybody. I was a bit overwhelmed with talking to a child.
He's a little bit beside Nobber. Himself. Bless him.
Yeah.
You just wanted more.
Didn't I did.
You? More?
So thank you very much, pal.
Thank you very much, everyone. Don't forget, you can check out all of our stuff. Just go to our website, pancast.co.uk. We got all of our different podcasts. You can get all the links there. You can send us emails. You can join us on Facebook, join us on Twitter and all of that stuff. Just go to pancast.co.uk.
Well spoken, pal.
Right, so now, have you sorted yourself out?
Yeah, I'm also, yes, I'm a knobber.
You're an absolute knobber.
I love that terminology.
I'm just glad that we turned off the Skype.
Yeah, when I did that.
Yeah, because that would have looked very unprofessional.
So thank you very much for listening. We'll see you all again for another Movie Heaven at some stage.
Indeed.
This podcast is sponsored by the Phoenix Festival Siren Sister, the number one free festival in the Cotswolds on the 26th and 27th of August. For more information, go to www.phoenix-festival.co.uk. And this podcast is also sponsored by Planet All Stars, Siren Sisters' brand new comic, toy and collectible shop. For more information, visit www.planetallstars.co.uk.